I did talk to you on the phone a couple of years ago.
I don't know if you remember.
I don't know. I think I just found out you were a book collector, a book enthusiast, and I called you on the phone.
That's right, about the antique bookstores, the used bookstores.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I just kind of spontaneously called you. I usually don't do material on the phone, but I had this... liked your music a lot, and then I found out you were a book collector and this sort of thing, so I called you.
I'm a frustrated closet librarian.
Yeah. Well, you've created a lovely, lovely book here.
Thank you.
And obviously, it reflects your interest and your taste. It's a book aimed at children, but you've done something, it's a picture book, but you've done something quite unusual. There are no drawings as such. These are old photographs.
Of everything in your own collection? Yeah, well, most of them are. They're not photographs that I own necessarily and own the rights to or anything, but they're all in my collection then that I knew or I was able to find most of them. And in several instances, we went out and located the originals and recopied the originals. But they're all actual photographs of the actual event. Now, it's not aimed at children. I aimed it at myself.
Well,
I know that sounds suicidal.
But you're just a child at heart.
But that's what I did, what was in my heart. So we call it a children's book for children of all ages.
Well, Steamboat in a Cornfield is based on a true story. Can you kind of tell us what that story is?
It is a true story. There was a boat called the Virginia. It was a really beautiful stern wheel steamboat, and about in the 19-teens, it was running between Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, making occasional trips to New Orleans. And in 1909, they had real low water, and in 1910, they had, at the beginning of the year 1910, they had a pop rise on the Ohio River, and she left Pittsburgh and got down to Willow Grove, West Virginia, and got caught out in a cornfield in the high water, and the water went back down, and she was aground and a long ways from the river, so she laid in a cornfield all summer and became a tourist attraction.
And that must have been a real surprise if people go by the road and see this steamboat in a cornfield.
Exactly right. Well, they ran excursion trains down there. The B&O ran an excursion train down there, and people would go down to. In fact, the cover of the book is people standing out in the cornfield looking at the boat.
Now, where was the cornfield?
Willow Grove, West Virginia. It was owned by a man by the name of Williamson. He was the farmer who.
Well, I bet he was delighted.
Well, he tried to collect rent, but I don't know that he ever got any.
Now, these photographs are actually of the Virginia.
Yeah, of the Virginia and the actual grounding in the cornfield. And all of the photographs are... originally a song, and I wanted to make a song that was photographic. I didn't want anything in the song to be any compromise for rhyme or art. I wanted it to be as photographically and historically accurate as possible. And then in trying to put a melody to it and get it just right, I never could get a melody that quite suited me, and I'm still working on it, but I decided to illustrate it with photographs rather than a melody. And that's how the book came about.
Well, it's really a pretty book and a very cute idea. How is it that you have this obsession with steamboats?
Oh, I wish I knew. I wish you could tell me. But I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, and around the Mississippi, Illinois, and Missouri rivers there. And I've just always loved boats. And I had a teacher in the fifth grade who was had an obsession with old steamboats and the history. And I must have picked it up from her.
Well, you actually have a pilot's license.
Yes, I do. I work on a boat called the Judy Bell Swain. Runs on the Illinois River, and this next year we're going to run on the Mississippi River, and we're one of the only five steam sternwheel boats that run on the river.
They misspelled the name Judy Bell Swain, you know.
They misspelled it?
Yeah, it should be S-W-A-I-M, like mine.
Oh.
But they misspelled it.
Yeah. We ought to come ride with us sometime.
Well, I'd love that. You not only pilot that boat at intervals, I guess, but you perform on that,
mm-hmm.
Don't you?
Sure do.
Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well,
did your interest in music predate your interest in steamboats?
Well, I've always liked music, but my original chosen profession was to work on the river.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but the music just kind of got in the way, and I kind of backed into it and wound up in the music.
Well, where did you go to school?
I went to school in St. Louis County.
And From school, you went where?
To the river.
And did what?
Worked as a deckhand for Mississippi Valley Barge Line and Midwest Towing Company. Worked on the Illinois River and worked on the Mississippi River between St. Paul and Chester, Illinois.
Yeah, no wonder you know your stuff, because in your songs you drop all of these lines, the Alton line and all of that. It
and
sounds surreal, and it sounded as though you might have done a lot of research,
and then
it
actually
came naturally.
Yeah, and then I was on, then I was in music for a long while, and then I went back and I met a fellow, Dennis Trone, built the Judy Bell Swain in 1970, and made a trip with him and realized that that was what was missing out of my life, so I went back with him and started working for him part-time just when I wasn't playing my music gigs, and got a pilot license, and now I do. I average about 2 days a week, and then the rest of the time I've worked on my music. We're on the road old.
How did you get into music as such while you were working on the Steamboat?
Well, I've always, when I was a kid, I always liked music and played it, but I just never did feature that I would do it for a living. I never thought I was good enough to play for a living, so I just, I grew up around square dancing and fiddle playing and that sort of stuff, what they now call bluegrass music, but back then it was just called old-timey music. And I used to play for square dances and learned how to play the fiddle, and then I used to play banjo behind fiddlers. And
you also play guitar.
Yeah, right, but I'm mostly banjo and fiddle. And when I was on the river, I'd take a banjo with me and get to play it on.
Well, now, at some point, the music began to escalate to California, didn't you?
Well, what happened was one summer I got in off the river, and I was getting ready to ship back out again, and somebody offered me a job playing the fiddle in a dance hall in South St. Louis, and I tried it for a while, and I kind of liked it, and I just postponed going back on the river, and the next thing I knew, I was working at a radio station, and the next thing I knew, I was in Nashville. It just kind of gobbled me up.
And
I kept thinking, well, one of these days, this fantasy trip's going to end, and I'll wind up back on the boat. But it didn't. It kept on going.
No, well, it looks to me as though you have the best of two worlds.
Yeah.
But not only are you a performer, you are a composer. You had some really big songs, haven't you?
Well, I have one really big song, Jell on My Mind.
Yeah, that's a big one. But there are so many other nice songs. I don't know how I get, maybe they're not smash hits, but they are very unusual. In fact, your albums feature almost completely original compositions, don't they?
Pretty much so, yeah. I did an album, the album before the one that's getting ready to come out, called Gum Tree Canoe. It's got a lot of unoriginal stuff in it. I mean, it's...
Was that your last album?
Yeah. And it's got one thing in there that I wrote and two old-timey things that I arranged, and the rest of it is pretty much just old songs and one or two contemporary songs that I like.
Yeah, that's the one that had
Goodbye,
My Love, or Goodnight, My Love, the Dr. Chivago?
No, that was before that. It has Gum Tree Canoe and Lorena, which is an old... song from the War Between the States, and then it has I Did Dull Expectations of the Rolling Stones, and Little Piece of My Heart. It was a Janis Joplin song, which I heard from Bonnie Bramlett originally, and it did Wrong Road Again, and an old time song that I found called Down the River Road. Some things
like
that.
I'm up to date then, because I have that album, and I'm glad to know I'm up to date, so that you haven't slipped any new ones by me.
No, well, the new album will be out in January. It's not out yet, but that's the new one.
In addition to the music, in addition to your obsession with steamboats, you also have another passion, and that is books. You are a book collector. Tell me about your collection.
Well, it's not very big. I do love books, and
in fact,
we're out on the road a lot. A
wonderful, wonderful song, the title of which escapes me, but it makes a reference to love of books.
Yeah. It's about my wife, what is it?
That's right.
I'm inspired by...
Imagination.
Your imagination inspired by books, yeah.
That's a wonderful thing to do.
Thank you. I'm not so much, I guess I am a book collector, but mostly just on specific subjects. Of course, anytime I can find a book about the river, I find them, especially old government publications, because they got a lot of faction figures in them. And here lately I've been collecting, about 5 years ago I learned how to read music finally, and I started collecting fiddle tune manuscript books, you know, any kind of a book that has fiddle tunes written out in it.
And
19th century violin.
Books about the banjo?
No, mostly fiddle books and stuff, an occasional banjo book if I can find it, but mostly what I would call 19th century string dance music. And so I've been collecting a lot of that.
What's, do you hear a high-pitched tone?
Yeah. I don't think it doesn't bother me if it doesn't bother you.
What? Oh.
Yeah. I don't hear any dogs barking.
No, that was a network. It was called a net alert.
You thought it might have been...
No, I was afraid there might be a feedback there.
Get
on our tape, which is going to be edited. That's why I can get up in the middle of the interview.
Yeah, all right.
Tell me a little bit about the banjo as opposed to the fiddle. They're different and yet alike in many respects, but I have this... I imagine that the fiddle is a much more difficult instrument to play and to learn.
Well, I guess you can... you get out of anything what you put into it, I guess. And certainly there's more, the fiddle is an older instrument, and the music on it is older, and there's certainly more lore about it. And I guess in many ways it's a more sensitive instrument, yeah.
What do you do in your spare time?
Well, my work is kind of my hobby, so I write and get out in the canoe and bowl up and down a river, but I mean, actually, my work on the Judy Bell Swing is pretty much my spare time.
Now, Steamboat in a Cornfield is your first book?
Second book. Actually, I had a book out for Doubleday called Word Movies years ago.
What was it?
Word Movies. It was a book of poetry.
Oh.
Actually, it was the lyrics to the songs, and we printed it up so it looked like poetry.
I wish I'd known about that one.
Yeah. It's a paperback. It's been out of print for years.
Oh.
It came out for Doubleday about 69, I guess.
I had no idea about that. I wish I had known. I would have looked. I would have looked for that. Are you currently living in Nashville?
Mm-hmm.
How do you like it?
I love it. It's the only town I ever moved away from that I ever moved back to.
You did live in Los Angeles for
just for about 8 or 9 years.
What was that?
But I was on the road the whole time I was there, and I was still kind of in and out of the Nashville community the whole time. But I enjoyed it, and I learned a lot. I wouldn't move back, but I liked it while I was there.
Are you currently on tour, or are you primarily promoting?
We're about playing music all the time.
Are you performing here in New York?
Bottom Line tonight.
Oh, how long are you going to be here?
Just one night.
Just one night?
I'm sorry. Love to have you come, though. I'll put your name on the guest list.
Well, I would like to. I'll give that some thought. I found myself, I did something very dumb. I was asked if I would coordinate a computer fair, which is going to be on Saturday. And that's a volunteer thing, you know, Macintosh computer fair. I said, well, I guess so. And I had no idea that it was so much work. You know, there are people who are paid to do things, putting on shows, you know, getting booths and lining up vendors and all of that stuff. I found myself doing that. And so I've been working on that steadily for a month after I get off work here.
Wow.
Doing that, and I'll never do that again. Never, ever, ever. Well, John, I'm going to ask you, you brought your banjo, and I thought that perhaps maybe you could pick out some tunes that might serve to illustrate the story in some respects.
Well, I don't really have a melody for that particular lyric that I like, but I'll sing you.
But you got plenty of banjo songs.
I'll sing you some more.
Steamboat songs.
I'll sing you a song that's... well, let me get it out here and tune it up.
You have a rather unusual tuning. You tune it deeper than most, lower than most banjo players.
I tuned the E, but you know what? I found a...
You give me a test because I want to make sure that the levels are okay.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. No, this tuning is low to E. I started tuning down to get more mid-range out of the banjo and also to have it lower into my voice. And then in a bookstore I found an old banjo method by Frank Converse in the 1870s, and that was the standard tuning back then, was an E. So it isn't anything. I don't guess there's too much new. A song of an autobiographical nature. Had to do with what we were talking about. I had a teacher when I went to school. She loved the river and she taught about it too. I was a pretty bad boy, but she called my bluff with her great big collection of steamboat stuff. Oh yeah. She had logbooks and bells and the things like that, and she knew the old captains and where they were at. She rode the Alabama and the Gordon C. Green as the Cape Girardeau. She was later renamed. Uh-huh. But her very favorite, as you all know, was the Golden Eagle, Captain Puck's old boat. This old stern wheeler sank and went to heaven when I was in the fourth grade in 1947. Uh-huh. Fashionable St. Louis society are taking a trip on the Mississippi. Asleep in their bunks with an after-dinner treat. They didn't think that the boat would sink, oh no. Well, I know Captain Buck was a very sad man when that old wood hull went into the sand. And Miss Pharisee was sad for sure, but immediately her mind went to work, oh yeah. Well, she did some politicking that was tricky and hard, and she got the pilot house for the schoolhouse yard. And so instead of studying, I became a dreamer, dreaming about boats on the Mississippi River. St. Louis levee was away downtown. It was the lowest and the funkiest and the furthest down. An elevated track and a cobblestone grade. You could go down there and get hit in the head. Uh-huh. But the river was life. It was changing all the time. It was the street. It was the sluice. It was the old main line. I started reading the Waterways Journal and all. Calling Captain Treadway and C.W. Stahl. Hard to get my schoolwork done, because you couldn't fool Miss Ferris none. And if I went to sleep or I weren't supposed to talk, oh, she was a dead shot with a little piece of chalk. Uh-huh. Oh me, oh my, how the time does fly. The time and the river keep rolling on by. Now I'm not a student and she's not a teacher, but we both still love the Mississippi River. Uh-huh. To see her this Christmas last, and we took a little trip back through the past. On the easy rocker, we looked at pictures and dreamed our dreams of the Mississippi River. Uh-huh. Oh me, oh my, how the time does fly. Time and the river keep rolling on by. Now I'm not a student and she's not a teacher, but we both still love the Mississippi River. Uh-huh.
Personal Concert by John. See, there's another. Do you recall? May not be in your repertoire at the moment, but do you recall Imagination Fired by Books? Yes.
That was one I wrote down and read off when I recorded it. I didn't learn.
You had an interesting way of kind of a brush way of playing it. Let's see. Can you do a little bit of Julie Bell Swing?
Yeah. Julie Bell Swing was a mighty fine boy, got a mighty fine captain too. Got a baby red wheel that goes around and around, and a bunch of old hippies for a crew. Well, I can't stay here, well, I gotta get away. I'm Chattanooga, Tennessee bound. I'm gonna get my banjo and put it on my back when the Julie Bell comes down. When the Julie Bell comes down. Peoria, you know that summer's here, and up on the Illinois River, that's the very best time of the year. Those steamboat days in July, like a hazy, lazy dream. I want to be at the foot of Main Street when the Julie Bell raises steam. When the Julie Bell raises steam. The other night, darker than the inside of a cow. Ain't nothing like a crooked old river. Straightened my head right out. Now I love my love, she's pretty as can be, and I love to take her down. Those pretty ladies really like to ride when the Julie Bell comes down. When the Julie Bell comes down.
I don't know if you want to do a little bit from Gumtree Canoe.
Tombigbee River, so bright I was born, in a hut made of husks of the tall yellow corn. And there I first spied my Julia so true, and I rode her about in my gum tree canoe, singing roll away roll, the water's so blue, like a feather will float in our gum tree canoe. Singing roll away roll, the water's so blue, like a feather will float in our gum tree canoe. Fields of soft cotton I'd hoe, and I think of my Julia and sing as I go. And I catch her a bird with a wing of true blue, and a night sail around in my gum tree canoe. Sing roll away roll, the water's so blue, like a feather will float in our gum tree canoe. Sing roll away roll, the water's so blue, like a feather will float in our gum tree canoe. Banjo and a toe on the oar, I'd sing to the sound of the river's soft roar, while the stars they looked down on my Julia so true, and dancing their eyes in my gum tree canoe. Sing roll away roll, the water's so blue, like a feather will float in our gum tree canoe. Sing roll away roll, the water's so blue, like a feather will float in our gum tree canoe. The this dream bore us so far away that we couldn't come back, so we thought we'd just stay. Then we spied a tall ship with a flag of true blue, and it took us in tow in our gum tree canoe. Singing, roll away, roll, o'er the water's so blue, like a feather we'll float in our gum tree canoe. Singing, roll away, roll, o'er the water's so blue, like a feather we'll float in our gum tree canoe.
You're the only one who has that style of playing banjo that I've heard.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Went a little bit. You're probably bored silly with this, but I probably use this as partial bed when I cut the tape. You might want to do a little bit of Gentle on My Mind. That's your trademark, isn't it?
Well, all right.
One of your trademarks.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk. And makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch. And it's knowing I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and ink stains that have dried upon some line. That keeps you in the back roads by the rivers of my memory. That keeps you ever gentle on my mind. It's not clinging to the rocks and ivy planted on their columns now that binds me. Or something that somebody said because they thought we fit together walking. It's just knowing that the world will not be cursing or forgiving when I walk along some railroad track and find that you're waving from the back roads by the rivers of my memory. For hours you're just gentle on my mind. Oh, wheat fields and the clotheslines and the junkyards and the highways come between us. And some other woman crying to her mother cause she turned and I was gone. I still might run in silence, tears of joy might stain my face, and the summer sun might burn me till I'm blind. But not to where I cannot see you walking on the back roads with the rivers flowing gentle on my mind. I dip my cup of soup back from the gurgling, crackling cauldron in some train yard. My beard roughing in coal pile and a dirty hat pulled low across my face. Through cupped hands round a tin can, I pretend to hold you to my breast and find that you're waving from the back roads by the rivers of my memory, ever smiling and gentle on my mind.
John, I don't want to abuse your good nature.
I enjoy it.
It looks as though you're so used to that banjo.
Well, as a matter of fact, can I talk about it for a minute?
Sure.
I designed this banjo, and it's a brand new banjo, and it's manufactured by the Deering Banjo Company in Lemon Grove, California, and they've got them in the stores, and it's called the John Hartford Model Grenadilla Woodwind banjo.
This was not just designed for you.
This is the model.
That's the beauty.
Yeah, it's got a real good tone. No, you can tune them in E, or you can put the standard gauge strings on them, and I use 13, 14, 20, and a 24 on here and tune it down. I've got an upwound third.
These are what, thicker strings?
Yeah, they're heavier gauge strings. Gives me the. Thank you.
plug it in here. See?
Yeah, I've got a pickup on it. They don't come with a pickup on it. I use a Gerald Jones pickup, and it works very well. It's a little thing on right under the bridge. It doesn't actually touch the head, which helps it retain its tone.
Well, I want to do one more, maybe something out of the January.
I'll do a banjo tune that let's see here. Yeah, okay. I didn't write this. This is an old time recording. Well, a short life of trouble is only wise to part. Short life of trouble, little girl, poor boy with a broken heart. Now you know just what you promised not more than 3 weeks ago. Well, you promised that you'd marry me standing there in your mama's kitchen door. Well, a short life of trouble is only wise to part. Short life of trouble, little girl, poor boy with a broken heart. In your promise, you'll marry whom you may. For this old world's so big and so wide, I'd ramble back someday. Well, short life of trouble, it's only wise to part. Short life of trouble, little girl, poor boy with a broken heart. Well, short life of trouble, it's only wise to part. Short life of trouble, little girl, poor boy with a broken heart.
That's very nice. Is that going to be in the January record?
Yes.
What is the title?
Short Life of Trouble.
I'll promote that.
All right. It goes back to it's an old song. I didn't write it, and I included it because years ago a fellow named Don Brown and Norman Ford and I had a little trio back in Missouri called the Ozark Mountain Trio, and the very first record any of us ever made was that song.
So, are you doing the new album solo?
No, I have a band on it. The Hartford String Band.
The Hartford, Connecticut String
Band.
Yeah. And that's wonderful. I really appreciate your coming in, taking the time, in fact, the extra time to
thank you.
Play. I will certainly use the music and or at least portions of it to document the interview about the book and
promote
the record album
thank
as
you.
Well. So I really appreciate it.
Can
I feel the banjo?
Yeah.
I'm not a banjo player myself, although I picked at it, and I took lessons from Tony Trischka once, but I can never learn it. I can never learn bluegrass. Well, it feels nice. When you tune it in E,
it's the same relative tune, so I mean anything can be tuned.
That's nice, John. It's a nice sound to it.
Sounds good. I don't ever get to hear it from the front. Well, you'd be surprised if you notice how different it sounds sitting behind it than it does.
Oh, yeah. Well, I like this deep, mellow quality that it has. Most banjos are very... I think use the word tinny.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons that I started tuning like that. And also, this wood rim. See, that doesn't have a metal tone ring in it. That's part of what makes it.
You also have a very deep voice, which is,
well,
in some respects unusual. I mean, a baritone. which is, you know, it's a beautiful voice. But for country singers, sometimes they have such a high-pitched sound. So you've gone almost counter to what everybody else has done.
Yeah, well, I always wanted a high voice because that's where everybody sings, you know. And
I don't want to sing real high like this.
But don't change it.
Well,
don't change it. Don't have that operation.
All right, no. No, I just do what I do with what I got.
Well, you've got
you do what you have to do with what
you
got.
You've got a lot, and well, what a treat for me having you in.
Well, thank you.
And it's different. It's different too. It's not just academia. You know, books. There are books, and there are books. Here's a chance to do a book that has some production elements and music behind it. And that's a wonderful thing.
Well, thank you.